We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's OMF on EEI.
No, I think the whole playoffs, we haven't got very many calls go to put us on the power play. I think we certainly had enough that, you know, we've taken. Some of them have been lack of discipline. Some of them were the too many men in the ice. They have to call. They see what they see. You can't do anything about it, Hags. You hope that comes around. You keep playing hard, earn your calls. You know, we're not going to bitch about it. It is what it is. You know, hopefully we'll start getting the ones that we deserve and take advantage of it.
All right. You know, we usually say that Bruce Cassidy is usually a really honest guy. I think he was honest about the officiating and him being pissed off.
I think that speech really helped there last night in Game 5. I mean, I think he really greased the refs to get all the calls last night, didn't he?
All I know is the first three calls went totally against him. He was totally pissed off when it happened. And then on top of that, you had Barry Trotz talking about how Bergeron was cheating. He got thrown out of the circle like three times on the faceoffs. He got tossed out.
And he was really good last night. Because it was funny because we kept talking about how he's cheating. And he's been awful. The last three games going in the last night, he's been awful. 33%, 35%. Last night, he was back up close to 60%. I mean, he was great, but you're right. They tossed him out three times.
So what you heard was Cassidy from the previous game, okay? So last night, after saying that, hoping that he would influence the officials in some way, didn't happen. This is Cassidy after last night's game.
I'm not trying to set you up, but do you have anything to say about the officiating today?
Well, Jimmy, I think what happens, okay, so this is my take on it. We're playing a team that has, very respected management, coaching staff. They won a Stanley Cup, so. But I think they sell a narrative over there that it's more like the New York Saints, you know, not the New York Islanders. That, you know, they play hard and they play the right way. But these are very good officials. They're at this point in the season for a reason. You've got continuous high sticks every game, the exact same high sticks. Bergie or Nelson behind the net, the one that comes up on Smith. Marshy got called for that in game one. I could go on and on. Wagner the other day in front of the net. You know, maybe we need to sell them more flop, but that's not us. You just hope they'd see them. I mean, the same calls go against us. So it's not like I'm sitting there going, well, every call against us sucks. It's not true. It's just the end of the day, the similar plays, they need to be penalized on those plays. But like I said, I think they've done a great job selling that narrative that, you know, they're clean. They play hard. Hard brand of hockey, love the way they play, but they commit as many fractions as we do, trust me. So it's just a matter of calling them. So, you know, that's the part that I guess gets frustrating, but you play through it. You know, it's like the Bergeron today. He's throwing out the first two, three, four faceoffs he takes because someone mentioned, you know, have a little respect for Patrice Bergeron. He's up for the Selkie. He's been a warrior in this league, a face of the franchise, does everything right for hockey, sells the game. And that's the way you treat him. I mean, come on, you know, because someone speaks out and says something like, he, you know, all of a sudden. So they just need to be better than that. Just, you know, just call the game what you see. Quit listening to these outside influences and get it done right. Because I don't think they were great tonight. I'm not going to lie to you. But they have been, and they're good officials. I know those two guys. They're good guys, good officials. And I don't know tonight. I just thought they were off.
Somebody take the mic from
them. You can say the same about us. At the end of the day, that's what I
good
thought,
guys,
Jimmy.
Good guys.
and let's just play hockey and call the infractions that happen, and we'll see where it goes.
So he tried. He tried desperately.
Who is his Stacey James?
Yeah, they're good.
Who is his Stacey James?
They're good guys.
Don't let him talk anymore.
They're good guys. And you know what? They're the best at what they do because that's why they're doing the
playoffs. But they suck tonight.
So what he tried to do is he tried to criticize the officials after he had already done it after game four, but he had a different tact. And what he did is he was going to basically attack the Islanders. He was going to say, because they've got, you know, prestigious people in behind their bench and Barry Trotz and in their front office and Lou Lamoriello, who's been there for a zillion years, those are the guys that dictate it. They try to present themselves as a squeaky clean team. It didn't work.
It's more like the New York Saints.
Exactly. Matter of
fact, not the New York Islanders.
They fined him $25,000
today. I was going to say, not only didn't work, but it cost him $25,000 for that.
The players only get five maximum.
It didn't seem like, okay, you know, after game four, I'm going to try to set it up, right? I'm going to kind of go after him a little bit. I'm going to just set it up and see if I can get the calls. You know, Trotz is doing the same thing about burying faceoffs. This one here seemed like, all right, that didn't work, so you know what? I'm going scorched earth. I don't care. Yeah. I know I'm going to pay $25,000, but I can't take it anymore.
Yep.
And, you know, the funny thing is, because I was a little bit busy, so I kind of woke up this morning. I watched, like, the third period of NBC, so I got to I watched the whole thing this morning again. And, I thought the calls were bad. The Corrali slash, I thought, was a joke.
Yeah.
He put his stick out, and I don't
it's
even...
It's a love tap.
But I don't even know. He just kind of tried to block the shot.
Yeah.
It wasn't like a slash action. I don't think he really... You know, so, I don't know where that came from. The one that got me was the cross check by Grizzlick. And at first, I'm like, we had Pierre on. He's like, that's like the call of the playoffs, I think he called it.
The
cross check.
To the back.
But it was funny because, like, last night I was with the Monty over at NBC, and he's like, dude, that's a ridiculous call. That's not a cross check. That's a push. And you see it all game long. So rewatching the game, I saw it all game long.
You know, maybe we need to sell them more flop, but that's not us.
Like, all game long. Well, you know, you got a guy in front, the stick is there, but you don't cross check him. The stick is on him, you just push him down. It happens in the corner all the time. It happened in front of the net. So they called him on that thing.
But he sold it because he fell down.
Well, yeah.
So I think what Cassidy is saying is correct. They are flopping. Because
it's not Montreal flop, if you ask me. But they're
better actors.
If they're feeling it, they're using it.
Yeah, they're better at it. Yeah, they can sell it. But who was it the other night? Was it Krejci that got cross checked like three times?
Matt Barzal cracked him in the back four times.
And then he was the one that got 2 minutes in the on spearing because he got him in the nuts. And so you see it all the time.
Well, there was
a
play last night too. I think it was Smith. I think Palmieri kind of got his stick up and hit him in the face.
He did, yeah.
And Palmieri stopped skating. Like, arms went down stopped skating.
I'm going for two.
Yeah, and he looked up, and there was no call, and he was like, oh, okay. And then he kind of skated. But the minute he did it, like, he just slumped, and he stopped. The play was still going. He just stopped because he knew it was a penalty. And they didn't call it.
I think what Cassidy is saying is fairly accurate. And, yes, you probably could call a bunch more of these penalties, and you wonder why they're being selected. There's one thing, and I think it was Pasta after the game, was talking about the first period, they kind of let everything go. And so we kind of thought, this is what we can do. This is what we can get away with. And then suddenly you come out in the second period, and the same thing, and they're calling stuff that they weren't calling in the first period.
He was taken down late in the game, too.
He was.
Well, no they call. Probably went in and you know, they have their little intermission also, and they go over, you know, what needs to change. And so they probably said, listen, we're letting too much get away. But what I heard was just the total lack of so I think Cassie has absolutely zero respect for Barry Trotz, no matter what he says. Because you're coaching that. You want them to embellish, but Cassidy's too proud. The organization is too proud. They would never like stoop to that level. Like, we would never just flop on the ground. We would never embellish.
You know, maybe we need to sell them more flop, but
yes,
that's not us.
Here's the thing. Your tactics aren't working. You're pleading or shaming the refs, hoping that they feel bad about what they did, and they're going to pay it forward somehow in some other way down the line, call a penalty when they don't need to. It's not working.
I don't know how he feels about Trotz or the organization and whatever. I almost think he was jealous of the fact that the Islanders get away with it, and Trotz came out right away and threw it back at him. We're the least penalized team in the league. Obviously, we're Saints. We obviously
but that's
do it that
I
way.
Think that's what Cassie's kind of going
yeah,
on.
Yeah,
I mean, like,
that's what
all
he
year
means.
Long,
they're
you were,
selling,
I think
selling
they were
it.
Like second or third least amount of penalties in the NHL. Yeah, and now in the playoffs, I think they're last.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah, I think that there was, I don't know, there was, but I would say this. I don't think the refs were good. I think there were some calls that weren't called against everything else. Penalty kill is freaking awful.
Awful. Terrible,
so, I mean, you know, you could sit there and say, you know, the penalties are bad. I get it. But do they have to get a goal every single time? Like every single power play, do they have to get a goal? And that's where the injuries come into play, right? That's where you miss Carlo. I understand that. But, I mean, we went back and talked about that fourth goal with Corrali in a power play. Can't get the puck out. They can't get the puck out of the zone at times.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's we can bitch about the refs all day long. But, I mean, if they killed those penalties, I don't think we'd be talking about it. If they killed those penalties, you'd be talking about a 4-2 win.
Well, here's what I think is interesting in all this, is we talked a lot about this during the Washington series because Washington's power play is so potent.
Yeah.
Island is not. And
should,
yet
it wasn't. It,
right. And it hasn't been.
Is now.
Until this series. Because the Bruins, the kill has been awful. You're
awful.
Right. And it shouldn't be, because we were discussing dumb penalties in the Washington series, because you can't do that with Ovechkin out there from that left circle. You can't do that and give them power play opportunities. The Bruins have been great, I think, through most of the series, 5-on-5. Now suddenly the power play's 3.
Yeah,
in
but that
a
power
row
play,
night, 3
that
in
power
a row.
Play during the regular season that was the second best in the NHL, like, you know, that was with Carlo and Miller. We're not talking about the same set of circumstances. Like, they're not.
Well, that's what Lou said. I agree
good.
With that. I think
no,
that
I know.
Carlo,
so,
especially Carlo. Yeah.
Yeah, so I sit there and go, all right, like, everyone's expecting him to kill everything. I just thought it was. I mean, I think it was like, there's you play them, you know, 3 more times. There's no way they're going to have 3 goals on 3 shots. Or was it 4 shots? Whatever the hell it was. It was like, just everything went right for them. Everything went right for
them.
They
had one dumb penalty. Wagner cross-checked them. Barzal.
That was just so stupid.
That was just dumb. You were down 3-2. Just here you go. Wear this.
The timing of it was terrible.
By the way, yeah, Richie got banged $5,000 too.
Yes.
For the elbow to Mayfield,
yeah.
Who was, by the way, on his knees playing the puck. You know what I mean?
Yes, he was down.
On
right.
his knees playing the puck. And it was like, oh, he hit him in the head. He's on his knees playing the puck. What do you want him to do? Go down on your knees so you can check him? So, I mean, did the elbow come out a little bit? Eh, maybe a little flinch. But, I mean, the guy's on his knees playing the puck. What are you supposed to do? You hit him, right?
Yeah, no, I think Cassidy is kind
$5,000
of the
for
case.
That.
Now, does he benefit for this next game? Does he benefit in this next game?
You know,
does it go the other way? A
I
lot
always
of times
wonder
it does.
That. And, you know, I know this is a big thing in basketball, and this is a big thing. I guess in
calls.
Sports. I don't know. But sometimes in baseball, backfires on your ass.
Yeah.
Like, an umpire's like, you know what, screw you. You know, don't get the 2 strikes. I'm about to ring your ass up. So, I mean, I understand it works, like, in these sports sometimes, but you have to wonder. You know, it worked certainly worked for Trotz, you know, when it came to, like, Bergeron. He got kicked out 3 times. But when it came to Cassidy, it was like, no, didn't work. And I don't know if it's going to work here. You think he's going to get calls in Game 6 because of the fine he just got for $25,000? I think sometimes that could backfire, can't it?
Well, but the league sometimes sits down with the officials and says, you missed this, you missed this, you missed that. And they may look at it and say, you know, because they do like the series to go a little bit longer, it's more financially beneficial for the league. A lot of times they'll sit the officials down and sit there and say, hey, guys, you know, you got to look at some of these because the disparity here was
he's
really
right.
off. Yeah, he's
Cassidy's
right.
Right.
He's a little off.
We got to find him.
It's got to be a little. Yeah. And so, therefore, there's pressure on the officials to sit there in the next game and maybe slant it a little bit more to the other side.
You know, have a little respect for Patrice Bergeron. He's up for the Selkie.
Well, I mean, agree with that.
I just feel like it is amazing. How deep into the weeds he's willing to go now. Like, his give-a-crap
he's
level
desperate.
Is at a 0.
No, it was 0.
He doesn't care.
Did you see how hot
care.
He was in that first
yeah,
period?
Yeah, yeah.
Second
he does
period,
not care.
He was freaking hot after that Corrali penalty. And then the Grizzly cross-check. He was freaking losing it.
Well, what made it worse is they scored right after that. So, and for him, he's sitting there going, we can't handle their extra guy. We can't handle it. So I agree, and he's desperate, and you know you're down to one more game.
I just don't think it's working. I just feel like it's at this point, it's a little childish and woe is me-ish for me, like the fact that he's continually. Hey, listen, you know, show some respect. Don't talk bad about our
point,
players.
Christian, you're right.
Your
it's
players.
Like, you know, another penalties, right? So everybody, your managers go, your head coach is going nuts. You know, the players are going nuts. You know, sometimes you know the attitude of hey, whatever, it is what it is.
Yeah.
We'll kill the power.
What are you gonna do?
Kill. You know, kill the penalty kill. I don't want to hear the bitching.
Let's start with that.
You know,
start
I don't want to hear the bitching. But when when your head coach is freaking screaming, I think he just lost it
it's
a little
more
bit.
Like the New York Saints.
But I mean,
you know, not the New York Islanders.
I don't know. Is that the right attitude to have? I get it. You're pissed off. But at the same point, it's got to be like, you know, you're bringing your whole team down. Like, oh, another penalty. Here comes a goal. Because that's the way it freaking looked last night. Yeah.
He's desperate.
3-for-3 at one point.
He is desperate. So, Christian, I'll start with you. Are they done skating?
Sure. No. They're going to win the series.
Ooh.
Yeah, they are. They're going to win the series.
Well, I tell you what, the Swayman decision kind of swings.
Yeah.
I think you are coming back to Boston.
Yeah, so do I. I think, from there, like I said, I didn't guarantee anything
when you come back.
I was going to say, I think they win game six and lose game seven.
Did you see this
seven.
Boston
I've
Sports?
I've seen this act before.
So Boston Sports Inf had this tweet out there. The Bruins have won their last four game sixes on the road when they're down 2-3 in a series.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it goes all the way back, Caps. But in 2019, they did it with the Leafs. They did it with the Blues. By the way, big games. Those are big games for Tuca. And that's what I checked. That
the
one
Leafs,
caller.
The Leafs game was a very big one.
Down 3-2 on the road. Right. Pretty sure that's a big game. Anyways, 19, they did it with the Blues, the Leafs. They go all the way back to the Canes and Caps in 2012. So Tuca's done three of them.
In the Leafs, they win game six, and then they're down 4-1, weren't they, with 10 minutes left in the game?
That's one thing this team has done before. They win game six, and you're like, yeah! They come home and just lay an egg.
Yeah. I would say this. They're at their best when they are desperate, and they're up against the corner, and people are ready to close them out. So I'm not ready to close them out in game six. I don't like him in
game
six.
Let's see what happens.
I don't like him. This is not a good matchup with them with the Islanders. All right, 617-779-7937. We throw it out to you. Tuukka Rask or Jeremy Swayman tomorrow night. And are the Bruins Dunsky? Catherine Tappan from NBC joins us here at 3:30.
Best off-season Patriots coverage can be found here. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending is brought to you by Dr. Matthew Lopresti, a Leonard Hair Transplant Associates, the hair doctor of Christian Fourier, 1-800-GET-HAIR. Well, the Red Sox look to get their six-game winning streak going here against the Astros down at Fenway Park. It's a three-game set. Martin Perez, he's going to go on against Framber Valdez. First pitch will be at 7:10. Pre-game will be at 6:10 in the Shaw's and Star Market Red Sox Radio Network. According to the NHL Public Relations, Bruins coach Bruce Cassidy has been fined $25,000 for the public comments critical of the officiating following Game 5. Nick Ritchie also fined $5,000 for elbowing Scott Mayfield. Cassidy noted today that Curtis Lazar would not make the trip to New York following an awkward collision with the boards last night. Kevin Miller, Brandon Carlo, they're not traveling either. NBC's Catherine Tappan, she's going to join the show here at 3:30, talk a little more Bruins. That point, the NBA playoffs, they're going to continue tonight. The Hawks face the Sixers game two at 7:30. Atlanta leads that series 1-0. Jazz Clippers, they're going to tip off at 10, game one of their series, the NHL playoffs. You got the Lightning and Hurricanes, meaning game five, Tampa could end it tonight. They're up 3-1. Game five between Colorado and Vegas, it's going to follow their series. That's tonight at 2. That's tied at 2-2. Weather in Boston, another hot, sunny day with possible showers this afternoon. That is sponsored by Weather, is brought to you by UG2 facility managers, maintenance techs, HVAC pros, electricians, and plumbers. Now, if you're at the top of your game and you're considering a career change, then UG2 wants to talk to you. Visit UG2.com/careers today. That is UG2.com/careers.
Lou is on Twitter at Lou Merlone.
I have so many gifts. Personally, that in order to come in and do radio with you two, I have to dumb it down.
Back to OMF on WEEI.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Bruce Cassidy seemed to be very upset tonight post-game with the officiating. I think he referred to your team as the New York Saints. I'm not really sure how what context that was in, but
You'll have to ask him about that. I know that just look at where we ended up during the year. I think we were one of the least penalized teams in the whole league. So I don't know what he means by that. You'll have to ask.
Do you notice both of them talk about each other, but they never refer to each other by name?
I kind of like it. Yeah. I want them to hate each other.
Yeah.
They don't like each other. It's so hard for them to show the small amount of respect, like, you know, that they're doing now. Like, even Cassidy was trying so hard. Do you think if this was unfiltered, like this was HBO Max, like he would sit there and just unleash on this guy as being big baby.
Well, did you read his lips after the first two penalties yesterday? Oh, yeah. What the F?
That effing sucks.
That's
what he said.
Yeah.
But you know, I think also with Trotz too, you think about it, beginning of the year when the Bruins could not beat the Islanders.
Yeah.
And what was the reasoning?
Barry Trotz.
Okay, so you're the head coach of the Bruins. You can't beat the other team because their coach's system's better than yours.
Yep.
I just think that kind of burns onto some people.
I think. Yeah.
Oh,
that's a good point.
My system ain't good enough to beat this guy. This guy's system is so freaking good. And then they pounded him at the end of the year.
Yeah.
So I just think there's still a little something there between these two guys.
Yeah, I think the reason people said that is when Barry Trotz was in Washington, the Bruins had the same problem. Of course, Holtby was unbelievable in net down there, but they had the same problem beating Washington. So we just assumed it was the system. And I don't know. Maybe the system is working for them right now. Because you brought it up, Christian. There are times in which the Bruins are just look like a better hockey team. Through most of the series, you are down 3-2, but I would say that the Bruins have looked like the better hockey team for more of the minutes of this series. And yet they're down 3-2. So maybe it is the system. Maybe it is the way Trotz just muddies it up. And, of course, they're Saints, and they never go to the penalty box. This hour of OMF brought to you by Northeast Men's Health. Locations are in Dedham next to Legacy Place and in Salem, New Hampshire. Online at northeastmenshealth.com. Are the Bruins, Dunsky? We're back to the phone calls. Here's David in Connecticut.
Where's he at?
I have a new mouse and it's still
okay.
It ain't
my mouse don't work.
My mouse is not working. Come back.
Just put a new mouse in. It's not working.
Hey, let's get some more mice in here. It's
hey, how's it going, guys?
Hold on for a second, David. Little inside technical
Where's
stuff.
Eric?
Can you tell Eric it's got to be a software problem? Can we do that?
I'll get right on there. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Eric, you got a software problem.
It's not a mice problem.
It's not a mice problem.
Go ahead, David.
How's it going?
Good.
I want to talk about the Tuukka Suomen issue. I'm very pro Tuukka. I know that he gets a lot of hate in the Boston area.
Yep.
And I think that ultimately he's one of the most undervalued athletes in Boston sports history, maybe. And it's really just because of the whole Tim Thomas thing. I think that if the Bruins don't win the Cup in 2011, Tuukka would be far more celebrated because of what he's accomplished for the Bruins. But just because of the fact that he hasn't been able to win a Cup, we really just hate on him way too much. And I think that, like, going into game 6 now, I know he's not 100%, but I think ultimately if he feels that he's healthy enough to be playing, because of the runs that he's brought the team through, you really can't start swimming over him. I think that you need to trust your goaltender, and he's just one of the most iconic athletes out there. I think we need to keep him in there.
Well, David, suppose you're right. Suppose he's not being honest to himself because of specifically what you just said, that he wants to go out there and prove that he can do it, even though he knows physically he's got an issue. It was pretty obvious watching that game, was it not?
I disagree. I mean, listen, I don't think he played great last night, no doubt. But the goals he let up, the defense has to be held somewhat accountable for. I mean, he could only do so much in net. None of the goals he let in were blatantly his fault. But at the same time, he didn't bail us out of anything.
It wasn't good
but
enough.
I don't think that you can see. You can't look at last night. I agree, it wasn't good enough. But you can't look at last night and say Tuukka's reason we lost. Because the defense is terrible.
I look at last night and say Tuukka's hurt.
That's what I would say.
Me too.
Yeah. Last night, he got third and fourth goal. I looked at both those goals. Go watch him again. Tuka's hurt. He didn't move well at all. He's falling over.
And if the Islanders, you know, take a shot on net and it literally hits him right in the spoked B, is that like him playing really good, you know, defense, or is that just, you know, the guy shooting a terrible shot? Like, it's like...
Here's the thing. I think
Tuka's told us anybody can play goal.
Especially fat guys, right? It's moving.
Like, he's going to be big.
It's moving. And having your core, when you move, that your stability, everything. Straight on, he was pretty good. Straight on.
Yes, and a lot of
these goals were like, you know, right to left. And, you know, hey, he had to go from one side, one post to the next post. And it just, it wasn't, it just didn't look solid at all. Again, third and fourth goal to me, it just, it didn't work.
It looked,
you know,
like.
Even if Rask convinces, like pleads and, you know, and tries to just kind of get his way, because he wants to play, I think under no circumstance, under any circumstances, should he let him play. That you have lost the benefit of the doubt. See, with me. That's what I would say.
My problem is that we've seen this before, you know. And usually, when a team goes deep into the playoffs, you look at a guy and you say, you know, Pasta hasn't shown up in like 5-6 games. Something's wrong with him. Well, he took a puck off of the ankle. Whatever, he can't move. Right. So, and eventually, you find out what's wrong with him. The issue I have here is, like, you know, talk about Tuka trying to toughen it out. The issue is that everyone knows what he's dealing with. Yeah. Everyone, because he's told you, you know, and Cassidy has told you. So when your coach comes out publicly and says he's not 100% maintenance, and your goalie's been talking about how he's banged up and hurt, he's freaking hurt. Like, he's hurt. He shouldn't be in net. And it's not because he sucks. It's not because he chokes. It's not because he doesn't win big games. I don't believe any of that stuff. It's because he's freaking hurt. Throw the other kid in there. Ambush his ass. Don't even give him time to think about it. He might not even realize how big of a spot it is because he's young. Just give him the game.
So the three of us all said the same thing. He looked like he was tentative. He wasn't moving well. This is Andrew Raycroft last night.
Oh, NHL goalie.
This morning on Greg Hill Show. Former NHL goaltender. Yeah.
I watched him just playing the puck and with something that he's done really well, really worked on, got better at. I thought it was not sharp, especially to start the game. A few odd plays coming out of the net. Didn't look like he could really get a lot of leverage on his stick and make real good hard plays, and you put all of it together, and then he comes out, there's something going on, but when the coach says he could have went, but we didn't, it's I'm not sure. There's just a lot to try and take from not the 100% information that we have.
What do you say? It doesn't look right.
Right.
He didn't look right. He came out of the net a couple times and almost got stuck, almost got caught a couple times. And usually busts out of the net easily, like he said. Kind of takes the puck and slips it over to, you know, slings it over to somebody else. And it just, he didn't look right coming out of the net.
So as
the game went on, I thought late in that second period, I thought he looked awful.
So part of this might be he's a guy who knows that the outside world views him as always coming up with something where he can't play or something happens in a big game. He's sitting there going, I don't want this to happen again. I'm going to fight through it. Even though my back is hurting, I'm going to fight through it because I need to prove to people that I can do it. But that's not beneficial to the team.
Your goal is to keep going forward. He is not the answer.
No.
He cannot grind out the next 3 weeks.
Not beneficial to the team. Our old friend, Catherine Tappan from NBC Sports. She hosts all that pregame, in between the periods, postgame that you watch on NBC Sports. She joins us coming up next right here on
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back. And so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Follow the show on Twitter at OMF on WEEI.
There's not a stupid question. There's not a bad idea. And go.
Now back to OMF.
Mm-hmm.
All right, back here on OMF at 617-779-7937. The Bruins and the Islanders. We are down to game six, and the Bruins now trail 3-2. I don't think anybody expected what we got in the game last night, especially after that first period. You look at the first period and said, oh, my God, the Bruins are the much better team. They're just dominating. And the problem was it was a 1-1 game after one. Should have been a 3-0 game after one, but that's not what we were dealing with. Joining us live right now on the Harbor One Hotline, our old friend from NBC Sports. We obviously bring in the heavy hitters when you get into an elimination game. Here's Catherine Tappan, everybody. Hello, Catherine.
Hi, guys. How's it going?
Good, Catherine. How are you?
Great. Backs against the wall. We're doing great up here in Boston.
Must win.
I had a feeling that was going to be the temperature up there today.
Yeah. Well, let me ask
you. If the NHL was listening, we would have been fined $50,000. Put it that way.
I think you guys talked about it at the end of the first period. You were sitting there amazed that it was a 1-1 game because it was total Bruins domination. I mean, were you shocked at how the game changed dramatically, and it changed on three penalties?
I wouldn't say shocked because, I mean, this is a really good Islanders team, and I think we expected that, and we've seen that in the entire series, really. So I wouldn't say I was shocked. I definitely didn't think it was going to stay 1-1. There's no doubt about that. But, I mean, the three penalties obviously were very controversial, and I think, you know, there's no doubt that two of them at least probably shouldn't have been called. But, I agree with Bruce Cassidy. I don't have any problem whatsoever with his post-game comments. I think he has to say that. And he has to get his team going in that direction. But the penalties, I mean, the Islanders are the least penalized team in the entire league during the regular season and the postseason. And I don't think they've scored three power play goals in the playoffs since, 2002? So it's not common that happens. I think, obviously, everybody knows there was an issue, and there won't be one on Thursday night Wednesday night at Nassau Coliseum. But I mean, I can understand why Bruins fans would be upset, and I can understand what happened there. But I think a 1-1 game after the first period, that was not going to stay that way.
So, Catherine, I know, listen, our show is not one of these, like, Tuukka Rask can't win the game, okay? We think he kind of gets too much criticism. But still, I look at it, and I just don't think he's healthy. And I know it's a tough spot to put the kid, and I know you guys talk about it a little bit there as well. But what do you think they do? If he's not healthy, do you put the kid in a tough spot on the road, Swayman, in game six?
No. And to be honest, I don't think any player on the ice right now is probably healthy at 100%. I mean, these are the playoffs, and this is exactly how they operate. But Tuukka, I mean, he's not going into that game last night if he's not ready to play. And he obviously, going to morning skate, I know that he didn't skate with the team yesterday morning, and there were some question marks. And, yeah, he's definitely banged up. We know that. But it's not that he can't play the game. And I think, you know, it was the right decision to make a switch. Jeremy Swayman's a great goalie. I mean, this kid's, you know, he's proven himself. He proved himself at the end of the regular season that he can play. I have no problem if he has to play tomorrow night. And I don't think Bruins fans should. But I don't think that Bruce Cassidy or Tuukka Rask would have put themselves in that game. He would have put himself in that game if there was a significant issue. And I'm a huge Tuukka Rask fan. I think, you know, he gets some unnecessary criticism at times, even dating back to last season, the playoffs, leaving the bubble. I just think that this is your number one guy. He's the guy that you've got to put in net, and he's going to probably start tomorrow night. I hope he does. I think he deserves to start if he's even feeling 90%. I mean, Tuukka Rask at 90 or 80% is better than Jeremy Swayman in net as a rookie netminder going into an elimination game six. So, I think also Bruce Cassidy making the switch at the time he did was a spark for his team as well. He needed to make that change at the time when he made it, whether Tuukka was saying he wanted out or they just needed to get some kind of change for the team to get them going last night.
You know, Catherine, this whole the chirping back and forth between Trotz and Cassidy, I mean, it was fun, in the beginning, but I don't know whatever type of advantage Cassidy's trying to get. It's not working. It's actually backfiring on him. I wonder, like, what your thoughts are on the ability and the willingness just to be really open and honest with the reporters when they ask him questions. And do you think he should just keep his mouth shut?
Or are you talking about last night's comments with the officiating?
Last night and the night before,
and game four.
Yeah, but generally, yeah, it was bad. It wasn't bad. It was great for us. We loved it. But then it's like, all right, listen, this isn't working, right? You should probably keep your mouth shut. You're not getting the calls from the refs.
I think, you know, we've seen this from Cassidy over the years, though. He's definitely not one to shy away from what he feels. And I had no problem. I said it before. We had all three of us on set last night. You know, Patrick Sharp, three Stanley Cups, Anson Carter, played years in the league. Like, none of them had an issue with his post-game comments. He has to say that because the team's not going to say that. You're not going to hear Patrice Bergeron saying that to the reporters after the game. But it's his personality. It's what you've grown to love. And the team responds to that. His team... I think I disagree with you there, Christian, about the, you know, the team not responding to it. I think they actually do. That team.
No, I'm not saying that the team doesn't respond. I'm saying that the refs, he's not.
The refs, they hold it against him.
The refs aren't. It's like the ref. Yeah, it feels like the refs are holding it against them. It's not. They're not paying it forward. They're actually penalizing him more.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I don't know about that. I mean, there is an integrity to the league that they have to uphold. But I think in general, listen, it was clearly a lopsided penalized game last night. I don't anticipate that happening tomorrow night. And actually, you might see some calls go in the Bruins' way. By the way, though, you know, you look at Richie, and that should have been a penalty. He gets a $5,000 fine today. That would have been a penalty last night if it wasn't for, you know, a ref overlooking that. So it went both ways last night. It wasn't all entirely pro Islanders. I know that Cassidy said there's whatever a love affair for the Islanders right now, but I think that these officials are not, they're the best at the game at this point in time in the postseason. They're going to miss things and they're going to call things. And I just don't think it'll be as lopsided tomorrow night.
We're talking to Catherine Tappan from NBC Sports. So you talked about the Islanders being a really good team, and I totally agree with you. It seems to me the big difference is the Bruins totally rely on the first line, maybe a little bit on their second line, especially after, you know, they added guys in the trade. The Islanders, on the other hand, are four lines deep, and last night their third and fourth line came up big when they needed it. Is that fair to say that that's why they're relentless, because they can go four lines deep?
Yeah, there's no question about that. I mean, the Islanders' fourth line has always been one of their biggest identity lines. And you guys think back to when the Bruins won the Cup in 2011, and they had, you know, their fourth line was Sean Thornton. It was, you know, Gregory Campbell was on that line. I remember Brad Marchand had started on that line at the start of that season. So I feel like that is what you're seeing with the New York Islanders, and they do have a more balanced attack. There's no question. I mean, Boston also has a depleted defense right now. You don't have Brandon Carlo. You don't have Kevin Miller. Those are significant losses for the Bruins defense corps. And I think that when you can roll four lines and you're missing defensemen, it's a bad combination for Boston. But this Islanders team is deep. They're well-balanced. That being said, I think the Bruins' perfection line and that second line is probably as dangerous with just two as it is for four for the Islanders. So, you know, last night I think they had the advantage with final change. Tomorrow night's going to probably be a bigger issue for the Bruins without that opportunity to do that.
Well, first off, Catherine, I know you loved Pastrnak's suit, correct?
I mean, oh my God, that was unbelievable. Wait, can I just say that I, like, love him as a player? I think he should be front and center, face of the league. We did an unbelievable shoot with him, like, I don't know, this was 2 months ago probably. He's just personality, and he loves the game, and he comes out and he backed up that suit with the opening goal, what, a minute and 25 seconds in? It was great.
He had a hat trick. Yeah, earlier in the postseason, we whipped out another great suit, too, so maybe he's got to go with the funky suits.
But on it.
The difference, that line was, it almost looks like they're on a power play 24-7 when they play, when they get going. Marchand's unbelievable. But how much does it change when you go to New York? You know, it looks like that last change, you know, Trotz is able to kind of, I don't know, neutralize them a little bit. We saw that in Game 3 and Game 4, even though they won Game 3. But it seems like, 4 and 5, rather, whatever it was. But all the difference in the world.
Yeah, well, they have the matchups. That's the advantage of, you know, having that final change on home ice. So I think, you know, I did like what I saw out of that perfection line, though, in game four.
I'm with you. I did the same thing.
They all rolled together, but I think the perfection line was able to find a way to get past, you know, to work with the Islanders, and they looked good in that game. And I think you're going to see that again tomorrow night. I mean, they're so good. They're to me the best line in hockey, I think. And I think that tomorrow night you'll see a different team out there. I mean, they know it's an elimination game. The Bruins are good in elimination games, and they're way more experienced than that Islanders team is. So I think it'll be exciting. I think the Islanders are going to be nervous in that Coliseum. They're going to want to win that game. So,
well, what about the Holland Goats line?
Ooh. Listen, she got to give us some background.
Give us some background.
The perfection line, you had the identity line. So we're trying to come up with something with that second line for the Bruins. And Christian came up with Hall and Goats. We've been playing Hall and Oats now
Hall
for 2 days.
Hall and Goats?
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, yes. My gosh.
Talk
it's
to him.
Funny. I was great. Like, I don't have that one.
You should use that one. When you do. The next time, listen, game six, let's go.
Makes no sense. Okay. Catherine.
Mike Babcock called he's been calling that line that Lou Lamoriello traded for Kyle Palmieri and Travis Zajac, and he called it the deadline the other night. So we've been using that as the Islanders. But
that's a good one. I like yours.
I may have to weave that in tomorrow night. We'll have to see.
Yes. I mean, don't you think they deserve some recognition? Everybody's got these cool nicknames, right? If you establish yourself as being pretty good. So the Hall and Goats line, I feel like it needs to catch fire.
I do. I'll go with it.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Oh, yes.
I might lose my job, but it's okay.
No, you won't. You'll get a raise.
You'll get a raise. Don't worry. Christian will lose his, but you'll be just
for
fine.
The third time.
I'll slide into Christian's spot.
We had Pierre McGuire on the other day, and obviously he's in between the glass down there, but he talked about the difference of games now with crowds, and you guys were talking about it last night and talking about it the other night at the Nassau Coliseum. I think you made some mention. Wait till they go to the TD Garden or whatever. I'm wondering,
Did you feel the love? See,
yeah, I did. I heard
love
it.
Up there.
I heard it. So you're back in the studio, but you tell me, when you go to a live shot, when you go to, for an example, Montreal and Winnipeg, where they have 12 people in the stands or whatever, there seems to be a real difference. Do you think it changes everything in the game, the crowd?
Oh, 100%. I mean, you guys, we had that Montreal-Winnipeg series, and it ended last night, and I was rather happy it did. It's really hard to watch, and I feel badly for those players because they're playing in those conditions, and I can't wait to see Montreal go to either Vegas or Colorado because I think they're going to be energized and electrified just being in that atmosphere. Even though the fans are cheering for the other team, I just think that energy is it's so lacking in that North Division, and there's no doubt that these guys, we're seeing a different brand of hockey than we did during the regular season when fans were not allowed. I mean, when the TD Garden started allowing fans to come back, what did they start with? Maybe a couple thousand or so? And even that got
12%,
the players
used. Yeah.
Yeah, but that even that small percentage made a difference. And we saw with the Montreal series this last round when they were the first team in the North to allow about 2,500 fans. And even those few fans made such a difference. You could hear them last night when they won, which was awesome. They were so loud, and they were cheering for the Habs, which has just been an improbable run for them. But I think that there's no doubt that the fans have made a difference. It's amped up our playoff atmosphere, the coverage, what the players are doing on the ice. I think it's great. I'm so excited they're back. It's not been fun covering sports without them. And, I mean, you guys know this, and we feel it even just in the studio, not being on site. We'll be on site for probably next round and the final round, but it's been totally different just sitting back and watching the games. And when you have them side by side, you've got Montreal and Winnipeg and then Boston and the Islanders. I mean, it's like watching two separate leagues. So I'm really excited that we're going to see this great game tomorrow at Nassau Coliseum. Hopefully it goes back to Boston for game 7. And the fan bases have been a real difference maker in these series.
So that's what I was going to ask you. You think they will have a game 7? You mentioned it. Down 3-2. They've had a good run here in the past.
I do. Yeah, they've absolutely. 2019 against Toronto, 2011 against Vancouver. And yeah, I do. I think this series, we've said it from day one that this series is going 7 games. And I think that one out west is going to go 7-2 with Colorado and Vegas. You've got unbelievable teams. It's a shame that one of these teams in this division and out west as well is going to have to go home after this round. But I do think it goes back. I think Boston comes out real strong tomorrow. I think they're going to have a little chip on their shoulder. They've got every reason to want to bring this series back to Boston. And if they do, I have a hard time thinking the Islanders would win that game 7 at TD Garden.
Catherine, it's always great talking to you. Thanks for checking in with us. We appreciate it.
Sneaking
in
there.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Calling goats.
Talking me. Get goat.
Catherine, don't let them embarrass you. Don't let them do that.
Oh, my gosh. You guys are the best. Thanks for having
me on, Catherine.
Guys.
Bye-bye. Catherine Tappan from NBC Sports on the Harbor One Hotline. Wouldn't that be something, though, if you think about this? The Montreal Canadiens, if the Bruins lose this series, the Montreal Canadiens would go further in the playoffs than the Bruins. You talk about crazy stuff happening in the NHL.
So the Canadiens, I think, had the lowest point total of any team in the postseason.
They did.
And now they're about to go up against either Colorado or Vegas. And their only hope is that, like, I think in these next three games that, like, everybody in Colorado and Vegas get hurt because they're just beating the hell out of each other, right? It's like one of the best teams in the postseason playing a team with the least amount of points. They got no shot. They got no shot.
No. I agree. The next round, I don't think so. You look at once they get outside. Well, it goes to show you that Canadian division, what do they call it? I don't know.
North Division.
The Nestle Division. Don't they have, like, some sponsorship to it or something?
Saskatchewan Bank Division.
It goes to show you. I mean,
the only bank in Canada, man.
If you're a Maple Leaf,
that's not Jamaica.
Man, if you're a Maple Leaf fan and you look at it right now and say Montreal is moving on, are you kidding me? I thought we were pretty good this year. We actually sucked.
By the way, if Catherine says Hall and Goats during one of these intermissions, we win, right? It's the greatest nickname ever.
We definitely win. Yes.
Oh, we definitely win. But I think everybody she works with would be like, what?
She's going to...
I think Sharpie's all about Hall and
Goats. I already know. Right now, she's going to be like, I was on a radio program, and they nicknamed this line Hall and Goats.
She's too much of a professional. She's not an amateur like you.
Oh, she can't be silly like that?
No.
She's too serious?
She's not doing that.
She needs to give it to one of the former players.
She's appeasing you right now. She's basically saying, yeah, Christian, I'll do it.
It felt similar to my childhood in my high school dating scene.
It did.
Yeah.
We got big deal or no big deal coming up at 4:30, but we got a big deal or no big deal right now. Is it a big deal that Tuukka Rask needs to be in the nets tomorrow night? You heard Catherine tap, and she said, nope.
There's only one net.
It's nets.
It's twice.
It's a hockey term.
No, it's not.
Nets. One net. It's a nets.
Nobody in the nets. A hockey term to say he's going to be in nets.
Please, stop
it. Changed sides. It actually makes sense.
Exactly. Thank you very much. Right. They change nets from time to time. So you heard what she said.
What?
She said that she would go with Tuukka Rask.
Yes.
We all three of us go with Jeremy Swayman.
I have problems with a lot of things that she said.
Yeah, but you, because she was a girl, you wouldn't go at her.
I kept my mouth shut.
That's right. He knows how it works now. Okay.
Oh, that's awful.
This hour brought to you by Dana Farber, a Brigham and Women's Cancer Center, the top-ranked cancer center, as we all know, in all of New England. So, who do you go with tomorrow in the net? Okay,
that a boy.
Just who one you
net.
Go
just
with?
Just one net.
And of the Bruins, Dunsky. We get to your phone calls at 617-779-7937.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.